from deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, still, and by skill I mean I'm still, working on a motion picture here in New Orleans this week. So, one more Le Show, primarily devoted to some highlights from recent Le Shows. But first, a machine learning engineer at Microsoft is unhappy with what he claims is a lack of response to his serious safety concerns. They regard a Microsoft project called Copilot. It's AI, text to image in this case, that the engineer has gone public with his allegations. Shane Jones is his name. He's an engineering manager in the AI part of things. He shared letters he sent to Microsoft's board and to the head of the Federal Trade Commission, Lina Khan. That's according to the British Tech Journal, the Register. In the letters, Jones claims that while working as a red team volunteer testing OpenAI's DALL-E 3, which Microsoft Copilot Designer uses to generate images from text, he found vulnerabilities that allowed him to bypass safety guardrails and generate a variety of objectionable images. Jones described the problems as systemic, says neither Microsoft nor OpenAI will address them. Quote, while Microsoft is publicly marketing Copilot as a safe AI product for use by everyone, including children of any age, internally the company is well aware of systemic issues. That's what Jones told Khan in his letter to the FTC. Continuing, over the last 3 months, I've repeatedly urged Microsoft to remove Copilot Designer from public use. Until better safeguards would be in place, they failed to implement these changes and continue to market the product to anyone, anywhere, any device. Microsoft has injected Copilot, which it's pushing in partnership with OpenAI, into all the corners of its software empire, from Windows to Azure. Copilot can be used to answer questions, look up information, generate pictures, code in prose, and so on. According to Jones, he discovered his guardrail bypass vulnerability in early December, reporting it to his peers at Microsoft. Among his findings was the fact that DALL-E 3 has a tendency to unintentionally include images that sexually objectify women, even when the prompt is completely benign. The prompt car accident, for example, returned images of a woman wearing nothing but underwear kneeling in front of a car, or women in lingerie posed with smashed vehicles. Telling Copilot Designer to generate images of teenagers playing with assault rifles also generated such images on request, which Jones says is inappropriate given the state of gun violence in the U.S. Using prompts as simple as pro-choice returned insensitive or outright alarming imagery, Jones said. He said the abortion-themed prompt returned images of demons about to eat infants and a drill-like device labeled pro-choice being used on a fully grown baby. And according to Jones, Copilot will happily spit out images that contain copyrighted imagery, such as scenes depicting Elsa from the smash hit movie Frozen. When those concerns were brought to Microsoft's attention at the end of last year, Jones was told to take it to OpenAI. He never heard back from them. So then he posted an open letter to the OpenAI board on LinkedIn. That got a response, not the one he was hoping for. Instead of hearing from OpenAI, he heard from Microsoft lawyers who told him to take it down. Despite numerous attempts to discuss the issue directly with Microsoft, they refused to communicate directly with me. To this day, says Jones, I still don't know if Microsoft delivered my letter to OpenAI's board of directors or if they simply forced me to delete it to prevent negative press coverage. Unquote. He's since resorted to Congress. That shows how desperate he is. How desperate am I? Hello, welcome to the show. I think all people, whatever their opinion of him, can agree that he likes attention. He likes getting the public's eyes and ears on him. Some might think that he's fairly frustrated with the banning from social media. But it's just been learned by this program that he's starting something new.
Live on digital tape from Mar-a-Lago, Florida, is the Donald J. Trump podcast. And now, direct from the Crown Room, here's your host, Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's not from the desk. It's straight from the horse's mouth. Yeah, it's your favorite president, and thanks to my co-host, Melania, for the absolutely fantastic introduction.
Well, thank you.
Just the very, very best. You could get a little closer to your mic. That wouldn't hurt the show one little bit.
I'm fine over here.
That's what Don Jr. said. He was the original co-host. Then he wanted to do his own podcast until he found out that I owned the trademark on Trump Podcasts. NBY, right?
I don't know what that...
Not Born Yesterday. So... it's not as easy to deplatform Donald J. Trump as some people in Silicon Valley might think. We've already got our first sponsor for the podcast, which is like maybe the fastest sponsorship deal ever. And that's got to teach the fake news a little lesson about the continued popularity of Make America Great Again.
That's the name of the sponsor, too, isn't it? MAGA Mattress?
You can't see her, but she looks even hotter off camera. That's right, honey. the MAGA mattress. We've been sleeping on it for the past couple months. If it isn't the best mattress I've ever slept on, I wouldn't let them sponsor me. Of course, who knows more about mattresses than Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, right? If he doesn't have a PhD in comfort in bed, nobody does.
And if you can get a good night's sleep during this latest part of the biggest witch hunt since the invention of witches.
Right, right. So Shifty Adam Schiff, he crawls out from his rock to act like it's no big deal to leak the most important national security secret since the Israeli H-bomb, which not even I'm supposed to know about. And it's not like Jack Kennedy didn't have his brother as attorney general to protect him either, right? By the way, I think in all the photographs the Secret Service shared with me from January 6th, it sure looked like more than a few patriots brought a MAGA mattress with them in case, you know, they had to spend the night inside the Capitol, which...
And you said at the time you thought the Capitol Police who confiscated them probably never had a better night's sleep.
And it's such a joke that Shifty Schiff is on the Intelligence Committee.
Because any shrink will tell you that's what he lacks is intelligence.
See, that joke lands harder if you're right up close to the mic.
I'm fine.
And the fake news is acting as if a 17-year-old has never been used as a cutout in any kind of crime, whether it's a drug deal or national security or even just a mattress theft. I mean, who wouldn't want a MAGA mattress? If I could tell you the names of the major celebrities who swear by it, I wouldn't have to. That would be a secret worth stealing, wouldn't it, honey?
I guess we should ask Adam Schiff.
And while we're at it, since when does a gag order expire? That's like a pardon that runs out and then they come and get, say, Roger Stone and take him to jail again. Makes no sense at all, except maybe to Sleepy Joe. You see him over in Europe with all those leaders who are so glad to see him because now they don't have to spend the 2% on NATO anymore? Half the British Army is there just to make sure he stays awake. That's one guy who doesn't need a MAGA mattress to have the best sleep of his life. His whole life is the best sleep of his life, right? And the great thing about a podcast, unlike a blog, you don't have to sit down and write it.
On the toilet.
Yeah, right. Great joke. Are they still putting out Serbian Vogue? But you just sit down in front of a mic, and next thing you know, you're out of time. Next show, we'll have a special guest, Jason Miller, best consultant any president ever had. And Melania is going to talk with the designer of the gown she's wearing to the reinstatement, right, honey?
I'm fine over here.
Till then, it's your favorite president saying so long from a house Mr. Jeff Bezos only wishes he could be so lucky to live in.
Now to Africa. The Queen of Pop appears to have met her match in Joyce Banda, the president of Malawi, who has delivered a withering verdict on Madonna's activities in the country. Whatever the cause, the war of words is a disaster for Madonna's complicated relationship with the country. Madonna, as you know, adopted two Malawi children and was bitterly criticized after abandoning plans to build a $15 million elite academy for girls. Not so elite now. There's a musical version of all this. Here's Jane Lynch.
You know, the foundation. like a cheerleader, helping poor girls go to school. Like a cheerleader, all we ever built was the pool. We're gonna help the many, 'cause we couldn't help the few. Like a cheerleader, we bit off more than we could chew. My spirit guides, we're not the least verklempt. As they study in my life. I want to share it with everyone. I want them to know deep inside how I feel deep inside. And it's good. It's really good. I want to share that with the world. I am a walking charity. I'm a charity.
War in Afghanistan, progress, sure, that's what we've been told. And we've been told by no better source than the president of the country and his brother.
From Afghanistan Public Radio, where the pledge drive never ends.
From the newly fortified presidential palace in downtown Kabul, where even the explosive devices are improvised. I'm Mahmoud.
And I'm Hamid. We're Kash and Ash, the Fork It Over brothers. Welcome to another edition of Cars I Talk. Today's show comes to you with the help of Pakistan, the prestige address for insurgents worldwide.
But hey, we don't have to worry about them, my older brother.
No, no, we will not be alone in this treacherous neighborhood with Iranians on one side, Russians on another,
and the best Indian restaurants in the world, just a short 8-hour jeep ride away.
But, you know, we could go on like this until we get sick of us.
Don't laugh. It's already happened.
Don't tell me don't laugh. It's in the format. But we have an actual guest on today's program in our actual studio.
That's right. All of a sudden, we're like the Hindu Kush home companion.
He flew here earlier this week on a secret, unannounced visit. He went back home to do some governing and some campaigning. And now he's flown back to be our unannounced guest. President Barack Obama, welcome to Karzai Talk.
Well, thanks, Hamid. I came back because I want to learn how not to raise money like your brother.
And how not to govern like my brother.
I do have to say, the studio seems kind of tiny. The exterior of the building looks much bigger.
Yes, that's 20 feet of blast wall.
But we're very grateful for your agreeing with my brother to end the war on the long track.
Mm-hmm. I think you mean the very long track.
Yes, my friend, with the full knowledge that our American brothers will be here for another 12 years, I think we can have the certainty we need for Afghan free enterprise to flourish.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Oh, yes, I've gotten 3 more orders for Toyota Tundras just since the agreement was signed.
Wow. Well, that's great.
Unfortunately, the orders are from the Taliban, but hey, their money is as bad as anyone else's.
seriously, Hamid, I'm here to say that we're not leaving you this time. Mm-hmm. We're not abandoning you. Mm-hmm. We're living up to our responsibilities, and we expect
that we won't kill you all.
That would be nice.
Mr. President, I know you can't stay much longer due to the fact that once people know you're here, you have to leave. But
I just want to take the opportunity to say that programs like this are such a great example.
There are no other programs like this. This is the only one like this.
All right, then. This program is such a great example of the free and open society which we're trying to help you build. Thanks, fellas.
Goodbye, Mr. President. No more calls, please. The phone lines have been ripped out for security reasons.
Yes, of course, you can take those headphones with you. I mean, you paid for them.
We had help for today's Karzai Talk from the Nation Building Foundation. When you can't build homes, build nations.
Legal services for Karzai Talk from the law firm of Ketchum and Lucum.
I'm Hamid. Join me and my younger and more business-like brother, Mahmoud, next time for another edition of Karzai Talk.
This is APR, Afghanistan Public Radio.
All the signs of a waning of the magic moments for Donald Trump were summed up by 4 words at the bottom of the front page of the New York Post. Florida man makes announcement. This was their way of reporting Trump announcing that he's running again and appeared to mark the end of the long-term bromance between Trump and Rupert Murdoch.
Murdoch won.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, this is Trump won.
Donald, I've been expecting this call.
Oh, I'm sure you have. You take a couple of shots at the country's favorite president and newspapers that not even the fish read anymore. You gotta expect something.
Look, my friend, this day was gonna come sometime. So that sometime is now. Shouldn't be surprised.
No, I shouldn't be surprised by the kind of ingratitude that's never been seen before by anybody with eyes.
Did I hear you say ingratitude?
At your age, who knows? Listen, my wrinkled old friend, I gave your failing newspapers thousands of days of must-read front pages. Was Best Sex Ever, Says Marla, not the best-selling edition of the New York Post in the history of history?
What?
Didn't Trump make Fox News the owner of primetime cable? Didn't MAGA make people actually read the Wall Street Journal editorial page? Do I have to draw you a picture with my bare hands? Jesus.
Are you through?
Through? I haven't even started to begin.
If we're talking about gratitude, who got millions of dollars, American dollars, of free publicity every night for years? Not to mention every morning.
You think I called Laura all the time because she wasn't a sack of dog-faced ugliness? I had to close my eyes just to find the phone.
And who do you think told her it was a good idea to put your blatherings on half an hour of live TV?
Oh, some schmuck in the control room while you're at home trying to wheedle your way into the pants of some rocker's ex?
All right, Donald. Let's be honest. We helped each other. But one of us had a sell-by date, and the other one didn't want to stink up the kitchen.
Rupert, I don't have to sink to pointing out that you're as much of a true native-born American as some drugged-up Mexican rapist. But I have no choice. And here's the cute part. Unlike some rocker's ex, the MAGA movement isn't going anywhere. We're leaving our tire tracks all over Mike Pence and Dick Cheney's crazy daughter, and you're turning your one-time media empire into a third-rate rhino preserve.
You know, I think I remember the 2 weeks when all your people were going to watch some 2-camera network based in San Diego. But guess what, my friend from Queens? Those are our people. We just loan them to you for a few years. If you're going to run again, you're going to be doing it on talk radio and Christian television. And if there's any mileage left in you, we'll hop back on board when the time comes. And then you really will be grateful for scraps of airtime. And I'll be magnanimous enough to tell you, you're welcome. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to sit here and wait for Ron DeSantis to call me and do a proper hiney kissing.
I can still get off-the-air advice from Hannity, right?
It's a free country. Take care, Donald.
But I...
From New Orleans, Louisiana, this is Le Show.
A television producer is giving Rap Sheet a whole new meaning.
Can't be nothing but inside extra access tonight for late June 2019.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mike DeVere Barroso.
And I'm Pat Mungo, just out from B-Hab.
The television cop show is as old as television itself. Although the cop show itself is older.
And through the years, TV cop shows have tried to stay up with changing times and the changing culture. Boy, have they succeeded.
Think of Mod Squad in the 60s, Hill Street Blues in the 80s, NYPD Blue in the 90s, and too many more to look up. But think of them, too.
Now the torch is being passed to the hip-hop generation, at least on screen. Behind the scenes, TV veterans are handling the flaming object.
I cut my teeth, you might say, on Hollywood Dentists. It was the first of what Variety said might be a new wave of gums and guns dramas. Mindy Oikroyd is a longtime TV showrunner. Unfortunately, it got a terrible time slot on ABC at a time when nobody was watching even the good time slots on ABC. Anyway, you survive and you hang on until something special comes along. And I do think this is that time.
Ernest Kid Ernie Pereira was working at an online magazine about hip-hop culture, The Slice, when the idea first arrived in his brain's inbox.
I had seen the Mod Squad on one of those cable channels that just spits out the old TV shows nonstop. And my first feeling was, yo, this is what hip-hop culture so totally is not. And my second thought was, yo, but it sure could be.
I took a meeting with Kid Ernie. My assistant said he knew what was hot with the kids and the urbans. And he talks to me for like a minute and a half. And three words pop into my head. Hip-hop cops.
Sydney Pangloss is head of production for Walmart's new entry into streaming TV services, Shiny.
The premise kind of wrote itself, which is lucky because, to be totally honest, I'm no writer. Although I did take a created by credit. But we're not reinventing anybody's wheel here. It's three guys. Well, we changed it to two guys and a woman. They were rappers. They got busted. And now they're working with the cops. Simple. But, you know, like they say, it's all in the execution. I mean, the cops don't say that, but we do.
I had just finished season 4 of Doctor's Wives for a Canadian network, and I was up for a challenge. Sid told me my first challenge was coming up with someone besides Kid Ernie who spoke the lingo of the culture.
I kind of grew up in that world.
Langston Jamal Oliver is assistant senior creative consultant for Hip Hop Cops.
I mean, not actually in that neighborhood, but just adjacent, you know, like right up against it. I got by because, you know, I'm 6'7", 250, and people would call me Little Shaq or something. But, you know, the characters on this show have to keep it real because, despite what people say, the audience out there is smart.
And every day in the writer's room, LJ sets us just a little straighter.
Well, I mean, they had BJ, the female cop, saying, "fuh shizzle" in one script. And I just had to weigh in and say, you know, the 90s want their slang back. You know, I hated to do it, but that's why they pay me big bank.
Hip Hop Cops hasn't been cast yet, but 4 scripts have already been written. Inside Extra Access Tonight was allowed to exclusively eavesdrop on our recent table reading of one of the scripts called Boys in the Hoodie.
Listen, this is my precinct. I'm responsible for what happens here.
Chief, you're tripping. I can't just go out into the street and start asking peeps who stole Easy Z's concert proceeds. That's clowning.
Lil Compton, around here we call that policing.
We'll follow the story of Hip Hop Cops on its journey to your eyeballs. Keep them glued right here.
That seals it for this edition.
But Inside Extra Access Tonight comes steaming back tomorrow with the results of our latest IEAT poll.
We asked if you thought celebrity feuds are real or fake, and the results will have you starting your very own beef.
Till then, I'm Pat Mungo.
And I'm Mike DeVere Barroso.
So long from El Segundo.
As of last night, a Republican debate in Iowa, it's clear that the front runner is Newt Gingrich. 6 months ago, that was the beginning of Newt's attempt to explain what has become known in the trade as his baggage, i.e. his three wives, each of which succeeded the previous one during an adulterous affair with said Newt. It's hard to call your wife your baggage, but there you go. That's the problem. By saying that he was just he was just so much in love with his country. He was spending so much time at work that that's what accounted for him straying and making these mistakes. He was so much in love with his country, he got into an adulterous affair.
Come on, baby. I mean, ma'am. You know, there's something very deep between us. Yes, I'm talking about the Potomac. All I want to do right now is take your hand. That's right. And just do the thing that feels so right. Pledge allegiance all night long. Feels so right, baby. Pledge all night. Oh, yeah. Just you and me. You see those stars and stripes? I see them too. They get me super hot. They do the same to you. We got to get together, babe. Talk some Article One. We'll go through the whole Constitution, babe, before the night is done. We'll argue Adamses, John Quincy versus John. You can take your clothes off, babe. For a while I'll keep mine on. Just wanna lay you down and see where that may take us. We'll make some red hot love or read some Federalist Papers. We'll have sex and balances. Make a perfect union. Stars and stripes. We'll make love beneath stars and stripes. They're even on my briefs. Stars and stripes. Gonna worship them tonight. Can't get enough of your flag. Oh, baby. This desk is big enough for two, don't you think? I sure do. I gaze into your eyes. It's Mount Rushmore that I see. Let's fly here through the night, then fly to Washington, D.C. Gotta have what you got, patriotism in every pore. Gonna sing the anthem very slow and make you cry for more. Let's play a game, baby. Good way to begin. You're Ellis Island, babe, and you let me in. Just wanna lay you down and see where that may take us. We'll make some red hot love or read some Federalist Papers. We'll have sex and balances. Make a perfect union. Stars and stripes. We'll make love beneath stars and stripes. They're even on my briefs. Stars and stripes. Gonna worship them tonight. Oh, baby. Can't get enough of your flag. Let's make a little compact right here. You won't tell the sergeant at arms, and I won't either. We got some amendments to consider.
This week, under cover of darkness, the taking down of statues commemorating Confederate heroes in New Orleans, Louisiana, after a slew of fights in the city council and in court, the move happened under cover of darkness because there's been a continuing line of protests, death threats towards construction companies which were possibly going to be doing the work, and death threats against city officials as well. Nonetheless, Jeff Davis is down. Videotape of the demolition project showed a bunch of protesters. Many of them were carrying Confederate flags.
Southland, land of cotton and loam. Losers got to have a place to call home. Secession, well, it's the source of our pride, 'cause our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. On our state flag, the X marks the spot. It took bravery to fight for slavery. That's how we're inclined, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Always left behind, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Jackson, it's Anglo-Saxon no more. Macon, you be shaken when you go to the store. Throughout our states there is this deep divide, 'cause our kinfolk were on the losing side. Yeah, our kinfolk were on the losing side. Oh, the stars and bars will never be forgot. We're Johnny Reb and not some hottentot. It took bravery for slavery. You can't be colorblind when you're with the losing kind. This ain't what we designed, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Oh, we love our flag, it says just who we are. Fancy house, we got no fancy car. It takes bravery to forget about slavery. We don't watch, we rewind, 'cause we're just the losing kind. Surrenders what we signed, 'cause we're just the losing.
This is the show Mardi Gras to the bone. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the story of Jeffrey in jail. In 2008, a supervisor at the Palm Beach County Jail alerted staff members to the needs of an inmate serving an 18-month sentence for sex crimes involving a minor. Jeffrey Epstein, he wrote in a memo, was a first-time offender poorly versed in jail routine. His adjustment to incarceration will most likely be atypical. For the time being, he continued, I'm authorizing that his cell door be left unlocked and he be given liberal access to the attorney room where a TV will be installed. Unquote. During much of his sentence, Epstein was allowed to leave the county's minimum security jail for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, for a work release program. Sheriff's deputies assigned to monitor the multimillionaire on these outings allowed him to enter his Palm Beach estate on at least 9 occasions. Toward the end of his sentence, at least once, unattended, and for 4 hours, according to the deputies. Epstein was soon transferred to the lower security Palm Beach County stockade. At the request of his attorneys, he was housed in the T-dorm, an area reserved for inmates who must be separated from other inmates. In February the following year, he was moved again. Epstein will pay for the security staff to supervise him in this previously unstaffed housing unit, the infirmary of the stockade, according to an official from the sheriff's office. Participation in the work release program was a privilege granted to him at the discretion of the sheriff's office. The inmates on work release are not generally accompanied by deputies. Epstein was monitored by a deputy the entire time he was out, said a spokesman for the sheriff's office. Epstein paid $128,136 for the deputies to watch him. One deputy wrote that he sought clarification of his duties and was told his job was to provide security for Epstein. The deputies who monitored him were required to wear suits and to, quote, greet inmate Epstein upon his arrival, unquote, according to documents. The deputies often described Epstein as the client, or Mr. Epstein. Two deputies refer to him in internal reports as Jeffrey. For the work release program, Epstein traveled not with the sheriff's deputies assigned to him, but with a personal driver, a former mixed martial arts fighter from Russia named Igor Zinoviev. Epstein reported to a high-rise in West Palm Beach, where he worked at the Florida Science Foundation, a nonprofit group that state records show he founded shortly before his sentence began and dissolved shortly after his sentence was completed. Epstein's attorney incorporated the foundation as a nonprofit to support through grants organizations involved in the fields of science and research. The foundation does not appear to have filed any public records as a nonprofit with the Internal Revenue Service. The assistant U.S. attorney handling the case said the foundation Epstein said he was working at and his 12-hour-a-day job schedule, quote, were all created on the eve of Mr. Epstein's incarceration in order to provide him with a basis of seeking work release, unquote. In reports that logged his time in that program, deputies wrote that they, quote, worked the front desk, unquote, while Epstein met with, quote, guests. A log of the visitors, a record that is county property, was kept by Epstein's secretary in a safe in his office. The log has since been destroyed as part of the sheriff's department's records retention protocol. At times in the reports, the deputies appear to take direction from Epstein. In a report, one deputy wrote that he, quote, met with Epstein. I informed him I was here for the detail, at which time he explained the parameters, unquote. Another wrote, quote, I provided low-profile security for Mr. Epstein, ensuring that no unauthorized persons entered the office or approached him. I was in charge of properly checking in
welcomed guests, unquote. Epstein's driver took him to outside appointments dozens of times during his work release. A deputy would follow or meet Epstein at his destination. At least 92 deputies applied to be with him while he was out of the stockade. They earned overtime pay for the jobs, ranging from $42 to $64 an hour as Epstein's permit deputies. Epstein's sentence was ultimately shortened by 5 months. He was given gain time because of his good behavior, just like any other inmate. After his sentence was completed, Epstein had friendly email exchanges with sheriff's officers. At one point, he emailed to let them know he was coming to town. He asked the captain how he was doing. "I'm good," the captain replied. "I hope you had a good holiday. If you need something when you fly in, you can always call. Have a good day." The story of Jeffrey in jail.
"I don't like mosquitoes! I don't like mosquitoes! I don't want mosquitoes around me. I don't like mosquitoes! Mosquitoes! I don't like those mosquitoes. I never did. Okay. I never did. Ooh, there was a mosquito. I don't like mosquitoes! Mosquitoes! I don't want mosquitoes around me. I don't like mosquitoes! Ooh.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this look back at some recent features of the show. Another one of these next week, same time, same radio station, or on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. It's all up to you. It's your world. I'm just living in it. I'm just doing radio in it. The email address for this program, yes, there is one, email address, that is, your chance to get Cars I Talk t-shirts, wow, your kids will love them, and the playlist of the music heard here on just some of the stuff available to you at harryshearer.com, along with a lot of stuff to read, watch, and listen to, and have your choice of reactions. It's all at harryshearer.com. This week's program was edited and produced by Tom Roach. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego desk, to Pam Halstead, and to Thomas Walsh at WWNO New Orleans for their help with today's broadcast. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions. Comes to you through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy radio network. So long from the Crescent City.